Well, hello, my friends. Welcome back to another awesome broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific, fantastic week so far. Got a lot of stuff we're going to be covering today. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show yesterday. We went into detail on the berberine ultimate, why it is so different as far as dihydroberberine from regular berberine. We'll send an email out on that later on the day if you had not seen it. So be sure to check out that as well, on sale for product of the week. And how are you doing today, my friend?
You know, Austin, I'm doing absolutely amazing. A little dusty in here this morning.
It's dusty in here. it's
but we got the... Here's personal information. We got the toilet hooked back up again, so we actually have a bathroom here. It's nice.
The studio's coming back.
Oh, it's coming back to life again. But yes, almost done. The floors are done. The bathroom's almost done. And then we're going to start working on the new set. When's Barry going to help us with the new set?
Monday.
Good.
He's coming on Monday.
Good. Yep. So are we move it back over? We're going to go ahead and build
it right here.
Good. This is exciting.
Yeah.
You're stopped up a little bit.
I am. As soon as I walked in here, man, I'm like, dude, my eyes started watering. It's dusty.
Well, that's great. Oh, by the way, they're saying now that Iran is threatening to conduct terror attacks that will cause national mourning in America. No, we're going to have, we covered this a little bit yesterday. Mossad, CIA, MI6, they'll probably be doing this. Remember, most of the time this war stuff is just a charade. You know, what people don't realize is that Martin Bormann, who signed Hitler's paycheck, second in command of Germany, he was an Allied spy, and they rescued him out of Berlin in 1945. In fact, in 1996, John Ainsworth David describes how he and Ian Fleming rescued Bormann from the ruins of Berlin in 1945. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that the Second World War was pretty much a charade. You know, it was all orchestrated, kind of like what they're doing right now. And you know, while most Nazis were sincere, they really wanted to have the Third Reich rule the world, the movement was sponsored and controlled at the top by the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan. And it's crazy. In a central book cartel ordered to kill on both sides, the Christians, increase banker wealth and power and destroy Germany, destroy industrial capacity and advance world government. You know, it's just, you know, a lot of the Jews were also killed to disguise the Gentile Holocaust and create a Jewish state. And people don't realize that all of this happened. And so, but Simon and Schuster published a book among great fanfare and large advance, having the account of the circumstances of the publication authenticates the Ainsworth Davis story. And it's interesting how you, when you start reading through this, Morgan, the second most powerful man in Nazi Germany behind Hitler was Martin Bormann. He was an Allied spy. He worked for MI6, Hitler's private secretary and head of the Nazi Party apparatus, and was an Illuminati British agent. Now, Illuminati is the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan, who issued the destruction of both Germany and European Jewry. He did both. Thus, he advanced two of the Illuminati's main goals, integrate Germany into a world government and annihilate its national culture and racial pretensions and establish Israel by threatening European Jews with extinction. We've talked about this in depth today. Now, it's kind of a heavy show to start with on a Friday, but I didn't want to really go into detail about that, but I want to kind of cover a little bit of it. I can do it another day if you'd like. We go into detail about what World War II really was and why it was fought. This kind of summed it up pretty good. Massive layoffs are hitting Disney's animation department, and my response is always good riddance to Disney. You know, the thing is so frustrating. Last night, I was walking around over there in Orlando at a place called the Boardwalk, and it's really clean. It's really nice. They don't run you through security. I also may want to go over there and check the place out if you've ever been there or not. And it's great. You're
talking about the Boardwalk Universal?
Yeah. Boardwalk Disney. Disney Springs. You need to take this. No security check, no metal detectors. It's great.
I don't go to Disney.
Well, the problem is they've got like 10 or 15 hotels right there on the property, and there's no way they can screen people walking on the boardwalk without having 10 or 15 different set up for metal detectors, which is going to be like a Nazi concentration camp, right? So they're not going to do it. And it's really pretty. Got a couple shops to go there. It's okay. It's a nice walk, and it's safe. And the crazy part about it is I was walking over there last night, and I thought, you know, this is frustrating. I said, you know, Disney used to be unbelievably nice. It was 25, 30 years ago before they were woke. I had a friend with me, and I said, you know, the sad part is Disney's woke now. And I said, before they were woke, I actually had Disney and annual passes go there. I won't do that anymore. I won't support them because, quite frankly, all they do is now is push that woke agenda, and it's really, really, really sad what they've done. But now massive layoffs has hit their animation department, and primarily is – this animation department now has gone full woke, and it's almost all AI. They don't need all these people involved in animation anymore. They don't need it all. And so, and there was another good article that came out. It says, the dangers of reshaping Christianity to fit culture. So this was a letter that was written to another man who basically is out there in the middle of this. And you know, I'm not going to give you the names. Evangelical pastor recently posted this open letter to Texas State Representative Tal Rico, who is running for the U.S. Senate in the state of Texas. Mullen's letter addresses fundamental problems with the way Tal Rico and others interpret scripture. And he calls Tal Rico and all of us to come under the authority of God's word instead of trying to refine it to our wishes. And, you know, he's right about this. What we've done now in the word of God is we've taken bits and pieces of the word and we've not taken it as an entirety. And so, you know, one verse of the Bible says that, you know, Judas went and hung himself, right? Says that. Another one says, you go and do likewise. Well, it's not even referring to Judas. It's referring to something else. And see, we got to be careful how we misinterpret scripture. We don't need to do that at all. We need to take the word of God as its entirety. And so that's why when you look at the Old Testament, you go, well, they're giving us all kinds of commandments and all types of suggestions and all types of choices, especially when it comes to dietary laws and sanitary laws. And you have to realize that those things were never changed in the New Testament. The only thing that got changed in the New Testament was God's relationship to man and man's relationship to man. Always remember that. So you got to look at the Bible as its entirety. Otherwise, that you can just take bits and pieces out of it. That's how dispensationalism grabbed us, you know, with what happened with the Scofield Reference Bible.
That's how the Zionists have grabbed a lot of the Christianity, mm-hmm. you know, as far as the basis on it, by saying, you know, oh, we've got individuals that are better than you. They're higher than you. They're stronger than you. They're gifted. They're the chosen ones. You have to listen to everything they say. That changed when Christ died for us. We no longer are putting any man before us. It's Christ Almighty, God Almighty, period. There is nobody that's over anybody else. That's the concept that eludes a lot of these Christians now. They go, well, it's the chosen people. It doesn't matter what they say, what they do, how they act, who they kill. We have to support them because it's God's will. That isn't even relatively close to Christianity or factual or biblical. So you can put that somewhere.
Some of the stuff he's talking about is, you know, starting to say that God basically is, you know, transgender. This is right out of the Masonic teachings. This is right out of the pit of hell. This comes right from the Kabbalah, which says that God is a snake in a tree who's basically a tranny or by gender. Not true. Not true at all. Jesus was exact image of God. God, Jesus.
And he was a man.
He was a man, period. Now, let's leave it at that. Because he made a statement, other religions are circling the same truth. No, they're not. Not even close. Concerning your statement that the Bible is silent on abortion, no, it's not. It says, thou shalt not kill. Concerning your use of Mary's consent to defend abortion rights, that's complete nonsense. Concerning your statement that Jesus was a radical feminist, no, he wasn't. What are you nuts out of? I can't believe he's believing stuff like this. Concerning your statements about biological sex and being what you want to be. Concerning your support for the same-sex marriage. And concerning your danger of reshaping Christianity, field culture, the Bible responsibility of leaders. And so he's right about a lot of this stuff. I'm not going to read it all to you today on the show, even though it's a Friday show. We can go into depth on this. Some of you would like this. But the reality is I'm going to post it for you guys so you can read it yourself. But the sad part about it is that we've done it so many times. I mean, we have people that are basically gay who use Bible to support that God was supporting of gay. No, he wasn't. Period. It's like saying God supports eating pork. No, he doesn't. And so they take and twist scripture out of context. So I'm not saying that you, I'm not saying this to you because I'm going to be very clear about this. Your sexual decisions and whatever you do for your life, they're yours. It's just something you got to work through. Hey, my problem. Unless you try to force my children or my grandchildren or whatever into it, then it becomes my problem. But whatever you want to do is up to you. But you can't try to twist God's word saying it's okay and he endorses it because he does not. What do you think, Austin?
True. It's not. You know, the thing about it is you can twist anything you want to try to make it go along with your agenda. At the end of the day, the word of God is the word of God. And all this manipulative tactics that they constantly are doing now in the churches is pretty nauseating to me. That's why I don't support many churches anymore. It's just obnoxious.
Once they start putting Israeli flags in the
on front. July 4th, 2022, when I'm subjected to them telling me the only reason the United States is the United States is because of Israel's blessing, and in the United States wouldn't be anything without Israel, and I walk up and I walk out, multiple combat veterans are standing in the doggone hallway looking at me going, what's going on? And they're also, I don't know, dude. I've never heard this before, nor do I endorse this, nor do I support it. This will be the last time I'm at this church. And it was the last time I stepped foot in the church.
And you've been tithing and giving money and supporting that church.
A lot. Now, this is an interesting article here now. Donald Trump's come out now, and he says that we should not fight data centers. We should basically allow them to go forward, and there's nothing you can do about it. They need to continue to expand at a rate that's unprecedented. He said, well, I'll let you guys hear it.
He does not.
What do you think? Oh, YouTube's up, by the way, guys.
No,
hope you guys are enjoying that. This is the thing about it is, yeah. Let me see. I got some. No health questions yet. I got some responses on the Little Hat people. Not surprising on that one. this one right here, this is interesting. I'm going to turn this up for you guys on here. And listen to this.
And you're going to have all that protection, and we're giving you automatic protection, but you're going to make a tremendous amount of money. You're going to reduce taxes, and you're going to have something that if you don't have it, everybody else wants it.
This is him telling everybody.
Because you have to convince your community how great these things. You can't fight it. You have to go with it. And you're going to have all that protection, and we're giving you automatic.
You have to tell your community, don't fight it, that you'll love it. Do you need to have data centers that are burning 5 million gallons of water a day? Do you understand the level of heat dissipation to be burning 5 million gallons of water a day?
It'll almost continue to do geoengineering with the amount of vapor being into the atmosphere.
Wait, especially when you do this on a 500X? I mean, 5,000X? I mean, how many of these systems are going across the country? I mean, 5 million gallons of water a day they're losing, not to mention the infrastructure. There's an article I saw earlier here, and it was talking about basically the issue that's going on with this is a power supply. It says AI doesn't have a capital problem. It lacks usable power. Pretty much just isn't sustainable what they're doing. They're about to have more chips than they can even turn on. They can't feed these things with the power system.
That's why they shut down the EV market. Now, I'm going to repeat that.
Give me that. You need to listen to
this.
This
is why they killed the EV market, killed the rebates, did everything. Stingray Chevrolet over in Plant City spent over $1 million putting in charging stations. Had to put a different whole transformer
to put in a substation to charge
these EVs.
And they were forced to by GM.
They had no choice. And you know, and that's the old owner told me that. And I thought to myself, wow. This is unbelievable. Let me ask you a question. You got millions of dollars that you're putting into a substation over there just to have 5 or 6 EV plug-ups. How do you ever monetize that against sunk costs? That's a sunk cost. It doesn't come back. It's sunk. You sunk it into the infrastructure. How do you get millions of dollars back by selling EVs when they don't even make them anymore?
You can't.
Unbelievable.
And you can't roll it in anything else.
No.
It's an electric charging station for a car. There's no other useful purpose for it. Mm-hmm. It's it. It's an EV charging station. It's not like, oh, you know what, the infrastructure's here. We're going to expand on it. No, it's done. It's a sunk cost. Mm-hmm. And they've done this now so many places. And now the problem is now you go, a lot of these EV charging stations are all broke down. They got signs on them all the time, out of order.
There's another devil on the interstate. I'm sure they probably tried to charge up one of the local gas stations that probably is dead. So they tried to limp back to the place, I'm sure,
right on the on-ramp,
dead. Dead.
I'm like, that's happened a lot lately. Down here.
Well, no, the problem is that this is a technology that they rolled out without the infrastructure in place, without the infrastructure being possibly put into place because of the charging stations and because of the data centers. Because remember, they started this stuff, they weren't building these data centers. And remember, they're not building a data center. They're building hundreds of these things around the country, hundreds of these things. And they're the one up in Idaho burns more power than the whole state of Idaho combined. I mean, think about that for a second. How are you supposed to supply the power to that? Now over in Lake Tahoe, they're telling them the data center is pulling so much power, they got to set up another infrastructure for their own charging stations for Lake Tahoe. I mean, it's unreal. And Trump says, yeah, you need to make sure you take care of this. I mean, you're going to get money back. Remember the rebates we were getting back from Doge? Remember the rebates we were all going to get from the tariffs?
We were supposed to get thousands of dollars in rebates back in tariffs. And here's the issue, too, that's coming up. Because one of my real good friends has a towing company. He has an entire infrastructure built around hauling EV vehicles now. He's got an entire truck that's designed just to charge these things, hypercharge them so they can move. And see, he charged like $250 all the time. Oh, man, my Tesla's broke down again. I'm locked out. Charging went dead. Okay, I'll be there in 20 minutes. Charges up, has a hypercharger on it, charged up in like 20 minutes. Like, okay, I'm good. Well, that's $250-$300, bud. I don't want to pay that. Well, guess what? The car just goes right back on the rollback now. Now we're towing it.
Can they do that?
Yeah, they can do that. If you don't pay the bill, I mean, especially if you're there, a lot of times he does the charge them in advance. You have a $250 delivery fee, and then you have to charge the charging charge on top of it.
Okay, but here I'm going to read you a couple of the stuff. Donald Trump, we just heard him. I wasn't going to read this because a lot of you guys love Donald. I did not vote for him. I did not vote for Kamala. I voted for Mancal Mueller. You look at me like, you're telling us that? You wasted your vote? Wait a minute. It's my vote to waste. If I want to take this purple. No, it's true. If I want to take this purple stick. This is a full container of purple sticks. If I want to reach over here in the garbage can and I want to dump it in here, it's my purple stick to waste. I can do whatever I want to do it. Well, you shouldn't be wasteful like that. I got it. But you shouldn't be driving a gas-guzzling car. Oh, it's different? Will you do it? No, think about it for a second. I drive a gas-guzzling or diesel-guzzling truck. You know, you don't care about that. Well, you know, I didn't vote for Trump. Well, you're part of the problem. No, I'm not. What? Look what he's doing. I told you what he was going to do. When he put Gottlieb into the Food and Drug Administration, I had had genug, which in German that means enough. That was back in, what, 2016, 2017. Right, I didn't vote for him the second time. That he got basically, they cheated him on that one because they wanted to have Biden in to bring in more illegals. Just to let you know that. The cult that rules the world did that election. The cult that rules the world did our latest election. The cult that rules the world controls us through money. Just like they control Russia, they control China, they control the U.S., they control everybody because they put the central banks in. But need I digress. During his first 18 months, his second term in office, Trump has done the exact opposite of what he promised and has gone to war with the people most responsible for him getting elected. Elon Musk, you remember that big fight? Elon Musk says, by the way, the reason Trump doesn't want the Epstein files releases, he's in it. Remember that?
Yeah, that was...
Gone to war with Tucker Carlson.
Doge goes bye-bye after that. Everything
Marjorie Taylor Greene. Thomas Massie, who all supported him. The question is whether this was always a plan or he has been coerced, bribed by Israel using Epstein file revelations. Now, Epstein, now Israel saying, well, we're not going to get in the war with Iran anymore. It's best for us to stay out of it. Yeah, they got the Goyim doing it now. They can send our troops over there like fodder. Remember Henry Kissinger said, dumb brutes is all they are, the military? Yeah, Kissinger. I met him. Total slime bucket. He goes, this guy, O'Reilly, goes, at first, I was cautiously optimistic about Trump. Now, we were all there one time, and I'd learned some hard lessons from his first-term personal debacles, like Gottlieb, and the deep state conspiracy to derail this president. It's not the deep state. It's Kabbalist, Luciferian synagogue of Satan, Shabbat members, along with the provable stealing of the 2020 election through mail-in ballot fraud, rigged voting machines, and the judicial interference, resulting in the insertions of a dementia-ridden basement dummy known as the Pokemon President Biden. That's really well said, by the way. Trump staffed his new administration with what appeared to be loyalists committed to revealing the truth about the Russiagate experience, stolen election, the Epstein files, the FBI, CIA, coup participants in January the 6th, the Soros, Biden, Clinton, Obama purposeful initiation and funding of the third world invasion of our country to steal elections and initiate economic collapse. USAID, remember that? And as the funder of the non-GOs committed to destroying our society, the January 6th committee malfeasance, and the massive government fraud in all welfare programs at the federal and state levels. With Musk's Doge revelations and promises of $2 trillion in savings, the early months of Trump's presidency seemed promising. And they did. He's right. Till Israel said, snap the whip, little boy. You're going to war with Iran. Let's finish it. He fulfilled his guarantee to shut the border, most of the times, and stop the hordes of low-IQ third-world dirtbags from invading our country and overwhelming our social welfare system, much with fanfare and TV commercials. Christy Noem, gone, began deporting thousands of illegals on a daily basis. Pam Bondi, gone. Cash Patel, gone. Declared they all had the Epstein files and will be releasing them in criminal entirety. But right-wing influencers, now we're talking about the Christians who basically love Israel, just mention who they are. Binders with no new Epstein revelations in February while at the White House event. Something started to smell fishy. Trump acted like a Middle East peacemaker with rhetoric about ending the Gaza genocide, turning it into a resort. He held multiple talks with Putin and Zelensky, all high-level Kabbalist, Luciferian Synagogue of Satan, Masonic Lodge leaders. It looked like ending the Ukraine war and delivering peace might be his legacy. But by June, Trump's pregnancy, 6 months in, Trump's presidency began to unravel, and he started reneging on his promises. After falling out with Musk over his big, beautiful, bloated nightmare bill from hell, that's what it was, still is, it's massive. You want to know why everything's so expensive? It's because of that bill and because of the trillions put into the fund with that little thing 6 years ago. And then began his infatuation with Boss Bibi. Yeah, there we go. And told him what to do and when to do it. Trump's bombast was about reducing the national debt and balancing the budget. It was put to test with the first budget bill. So it just didn't happen. It just did not happen what he said he's going to do. He made no effort to reduce the spending earmarked in the big, beautiful bill, going along with the continued health death march of the debt creation prior to the bill. The 10-year CBO forecast was a national debt to increase by $21 trillion, so essentially accelerating towards fiscal disaster. Trump's big, beautiful nightmare bill added another $5 trillion to the figure, not adding cutting budget. The national debt has gone from $36 trillion to $39 trillion in 1.5 years. With the uniparty in agreement, which is what we are now, it's controlled by both sides because of Epstein, $2 trillion annual deficit locked in until the debt Ponzi scheme explodes. The MAGA army of math challenges NPCs obediently applauded for Trump's 5D chess genius. Remember, 50,000 dimensional chess. Musk realized his entire Doge effort was nothing more than window dressing for Trump to get elected. They had a very public clash with nasty personal attacks, and they miffed and misled Musk real by Trump was not allowing the Epstein files to be released. This is the first crack in the MAGA narrative dam while setting in motion the future of full catastrophic collapse over the remainder of his term. His fiscal promises of $2,000 rebates from Doge, Austin,
yep,
and $2,000 tariff rebates, lowered inflation and manufacturing plants and jobs were a complete and total lie. Now he's telling us, go for the data centers. Don't oppose them locally. I wasn't going to read all this until Austin said that.
Well, no, this is what I've said. You know, it's funny now, and I'm not telling you what to do with any of this stuff. You guys handle your own business in your own county. But basically, Wisconsin officials are even talking that people are starting to put trash bags over flock cameras now locally. And law enforcement not doing anything about it in Wisconsin. They're like, we want this done, actually.
Well, you know what's interesting?
It's gotten really invasive.
Well, what's nice about the trash bags, and we're not suggesting that anybody does that. Okay,
it's but not defacing anything.
You don't deface it. You don't damage anything. Oh, I had a trash bag.
It's trash. Oh, it's a trash bag. I thought it was a trash can. I'm sorry. I was confused. I'm not condoning anything, but, you know, you handle it in your own way. Because this is what's happened now. Somebody sent me this video. Look at this. This is one of those speed signs, right? Side of the road. This, I watched the video.
The speed camera.
No. That's a flock camera.
That's a flock camera?
They built and modified to put a flock camera in the back side of this speed camera right here. So the ones you see on the side of the road, you know, they check your speed sometimes. Law enforcement decided to take it upon themselves and put a flock camera on the back side to read your tag. Now, they're not writing any tickets. They're not doing this because they cannot legally write you a ticket for speeding. The next question is, what are they doing with the data of recording your doggone tag after they're reading you on a speed camera?
They're putting it through the data. They're tracking you.
They're building a model on you.
You got to pick me.
Pick you.
Yesterday, I'm driving around, and I got this vehicle, and I start having problems with the cruise control. Austin knows exactly what I'm talking about. It works half the time. Half the time it doesn't. It's like a nightmare out of the pit. And finally, I called up the little button on top. Push the little button, and they come to you, and they help you. They say, this is technical support. Can we help you? And there was this black girl answering the phone. I'm not picking on her because she's black. I'm just making an observation. She could have been Hispanic. She could have been white. And if I had known the difference, I would have basically said, hey, it's a white person. It's a Hispanic person. So don't fuss at me about that. The problem is she was completely untrained. Now, Austin, listen to me on this. So I said to her, my cruise control won't reset. I need to get help. Okay, I need your name. And I said, you've got my name. It's linked to my car's ID. You have my full VIN number on this call right now. And she goes, oh, no, I need your full name. So I give her my full name. Then she goes, I need your telephone number. I said, look, I want you to help me with my cruise control. That's all I want. You don't seem to understand. I can't help you unless I fill out the form. Now, listen. And I said, no. I said, all you're doing is collecting data on me. I said, I don't appreciate it. And I said, I don't want to give you my stinking phone number because you'll start sending me solicitation tests. And you'll sell the number. Oh, no, we don't do that.
I'm like, have the number. They already have your name.
And then she goes, we have to have the vehicle VIN number. I said, the vehicle VIN number's on the doggone register. I just dialed you on the doggone car's phone. And she goes, no. So I have to pull over. I have to pull over on the side of the road. Right? I have to pull over on the side of the road. And I've got to get the sticker off the windshield, and I've got to read her the VIN number. And so then she won't listen. She won't be quiet. So it's like 20 numbers, and every time I start it, she starts talking to me. And finally I said, look, you got to be quiet so I can give you the VIN number.
So stupid. Does it have the VIN number of the sticker?
No, it's on her screen right now. And she goes, well, I know what color the car is. I said, you know what color the car is. You've got the VIN number. Now you've got my name. Now you've got my doggone telephone number. I just want to know how to set the cruise control. She goes, well, I have to look it up at the owner's manual, which they don't put in the car anymore. You got to call them up or you got to look at it online.
They've got rid of the owner's manual.
There's an owner manual. So finally I said, do you know how to fix the cruise control? Well, I will read you the owner's manual. So I'm doing it right. So now the car is surging, going back and forth, surging. So there's a bunch of cars stopped on the road. Somebody's turned left where we should have had a third lane. And I go around the car stopped on the grass because I don't want the car to stall on me. Guess what? There's a police officer in the line I go around.
Of course there is.
Of course there is. So my car's surging. So of course, what he does, he lights me up. And I'm like, this is great. And finally, I said to the girl, I said, do you have any idea how to set the cruise control? Yes, I'm reading the owner's manual. You go to the steering column, you turn the cruise control on, and you push set. Now I got a cop coming up. No, listen. Now I've got blue lights behind me. I got a car that's surging. This car's only like 5 months old, right? And I'm like, last time I took it over to the dealership, they quit doing it. They said, we can't fix it. It's working great. So he pulls me over. I pull over on the side of the road. I pulled off on a side street so everybody couldn't see me and wave at me, right? I'm in my neighborhood. And so he goes, what are you doing? I'm talking to the people, right? Okay, it's a Mercedes. I'm talking to them. One of the worst cars you'd ever buy, rated number 30 and basically whatever. So I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to this girl from Mercedes while the cop opens the door. He opens the door. And she's saying to me, well, you got to stop driving the car. And he hears this. And it says on the screen, you know, Mercedes data or whatever. And I said, do you have any idea? The cop's listening to this. I said, do you have any idea how to fix this? She goes, no, I don't. I have no idea how to fix it at all. I have to take it to your dealer. I said, I've already done that. Now, the cop's listening to this. He said, well, take it to your dealership immediately. So he looked at me and goes, what is going on with your car? I said, I don't know. But he hears it. He goes, yeah. I said, I didn't want it to stall on me on the highway, so I just went around you on the grass. And he goes, I was wondering why you did that. I thought you were some teenager trying to avoid a lie. I said, no, I'm just trying to get home. He says, so he did, nice enough guy. He didn't give me a ticket.
Yeah.
But he heard Mercedes tell me, take the car to the shop. And so I'm talking to him. He goes, well, you can go now. I said, no, I'm enjoying talking to you. I said, how old are you? You look like you're like 18. He was 27.
It was Armadale?
Yeah, really nice kid. Really nice guy. But he let me go because he knew I was having a problem with this mess car thing. And I'm like, why? How? And this is why Mercedes is ranked number like 35 in consumer. No,
they're like the bottom.
No, they're the bottom.
The other day on Consumer Powers is for quality control. Now
you can't fit. They can't miss really
Cruise control. You know what's funny? You know who's number one? Lexus,
of course.
Toyota.
Yeah.
Like number one.
Lexus always number one. And Mercedes used to be the top two or three.
Oh yeah.
But not boy. The EV took them down a ditch they didn't want to go into.
Well, EV has drug everybody. Porsche, Mercedes, Audi, all the European vehicles now are all having a time.
Well, no. And I got so fed up with it. I've been lucky the police officer was really nice. And of course, I was going out to dinner, and I'm now in a foul mood. And I'm like myself, this is great. So the cop was saying, look, just take the car home and take something else. I said, you know, I'm going to take my Chevy pickup truck.
There you go.
It ran great.
It runs fine.
Cruise control ran great. I'm like, it's a Chevy, right? And I'm like, it's just okay. It's a great car, great truck. So I thought, I'm thinking to myself, this is nuts. How in the world is this like this? And I told the lady who was with me, I said, all they did when I called up technical support was to gather information on me. It had nothing to do with helping me at all.
And that's the problem now, man, is that we've turned into this society now where almost everything's about data collection. Even a lot of sites, all they want to do, want to track your cookies. See direct targeted marketing. They want to get all your information. They want to get your email address. That's what I tell you guys. You want to sign up for our weekly newsletter? I encourage it. You get a lot of deals. We'll send you the stuff. I don't sell it. I don't sell anybody's information.
And what they'll do now, they got my phone number, which I can't believe I didn't give them a bogus number. So I could have given them some other number that I used to have or whatever. I thought to myself, now I'm just going to get solicited by car dealerships. I guess you're just going to start. And you think to yourself, and I told us, don't sell my number. But she couldn't even read the owner's manual. You take and turn on the cruise and you hit set. I'm like, you know, I've been doing that for like 30 minutes. It doesn't work.
Well, and this is the problem, what I was just talking about with this. You know, where a benign speed sign that's telling you how fast you're going now has a flock camera built in the back of it. So when you think it's just, they're just, you know, getting how fast everybody is, trying to slow everybody down, they flash their lights on it. No, they're building data. The camera is basically flock camera in the system here that showed up that they modified to work in the back of this thing. It goes into detail here. It says they're using it, thousands of other law enforcement as well, as a way to essentially go in and build data on every single car that passes by. It's a total dragnet surveillance. They say they don't just read your license plate. They capture and log the vehicle's make, model, color, body type, and even distinguishing features. They are doing a 30-day heat map. I knew about this. It's escalating further. It says rather than only triggering an alert for a wanted vehicle, the system retains data on every innocent driver who passes by. Flock says the ALRP system generates a heat map showing exactly where specific vehicles traveled over a 30-day period with widespread data sharing to all law enforcement and any other agency network. This is the big problem I have with this. It's not just law enforcement that gets access to this. Every single third-party data collector gets access to Flock cameras. Everybody, even you and I, we could go in. The problem is, what do you want to do with the data? I don't care. I don't have to watch people drive around. Well, a lot of other companies do.
You know, this is interesting how they use it. I had a friend of mine was basically charged with some doing some stuff her kid was involved in, and all of a sudden they track her doggone car all over Winter Haven, Lakeland. I mean, from like every Flock camera, and they had it all on surveillance and on video that the state attorney used to basically charge her with something that her kid did. And I'm like, wait a minute. They've got that technology. Yeah, that was like a year ago. It's way past that now. It was back about 2 years ago. Now they're everywhere. So what they'll do, they'll say, they're going to pass law now. You cannot put a plastic bag over a Flock camera.
Uh-huh.
Or they'll say something like, it's against the law to inhibit the proper reading of a Flock camera. That way, then it's not a plastic bag. It could be anything because you can put a paper bag. You know, you can do whatever. So they'll make some law. Remember what Ayn Rand said? When there's not enough people breaking the law, you've got to pass law.
Exactly what,
how, right. How did it go? How did that, you remember?
I'm pulling it up. I mean, it's the, where's it at on here? Yeah, well, no, this is exactly what it, this is exactly what she talked about.
She said if you can't get to control people, you got to make laws against what they're doing so you can control them. So you make everybody a criminal. That's what they're doing, isn't it? I mean, the IRS code's like 14,000 pages thick or whatever the heck it is. It's unbelievable. I mean, how do you read that? I mean, how does the CPA read that? How does anybody read that? I mean, how do you know what in the world is doing? All you do is pay taxes. You pay more than you're supposed to most of the time because you don't know what else to do because you want to make sure that you don't get in trouble with the 14,000 pages. So it's crazy what's happening in the world today.
There's no way to rule innocent men. The only power any government has is the power to crack down on criminals. Well, when there aren't enough criminals, what makes them? One declares so many things to be a crime that it becomes impossible for men to live without breaking laws. Who wants a nation of law-abiding citizens? What's in that for anyone? Just pass the kind... Oh, stupid ads. Just pass the kind of laws that can either be observed or enforced or objectively interpreted, and you create a nation of lawbreakers, and you cash in on the guilt.
Remember, they used to have us, if you had open container in your car... You can be arrested. Remember
yeah.
That? Remember?
There's an old beer bottle in the back.
Yeah. Well, how about this? You've got, you know, a box of garbage bags. You are a lawbreaker. It's for garbage. No! You've been covering Flock cameras. No, I haven't. Yes, we have evidence against you now. You're under arrest. Put your hands behind your back. Anything you say can or be used against you. I'm like, it's a box of garbage bags. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing that they're saying now here is what they've done now is instead of having to install these things, cameras everywhere, the municipalities now across the country are starting to have what Flock's brought out with now is a mobile speed radar equipped with ALPR technology.
Look at Lake Alfred.
So now what they're doing is they can't install enough of them or get them approved in a certain area, and they only have 50 and they want 80. They're now putting up these mobile speed detector systems with Flock cameras inside of them now. So now they can do is, by the way, guys, I'm not joking. They can pinpoint every single car that goes by the speeds, meaning they're building a data log on you, looking as, oh,
they're going to sell it to State Farm Insurance.
That's exactly what they're going to do.
And everybody else.
And they're going to sell it to all law enforcement agencies. And they're going to say, well, we can't charge him with this. But, you know, when you go to look at his sheet on it, well, he's been hit by Flock cameras 42 times going 10 miles an hour more of a speed limit.
Remember, don't look up with Leonardo DiCaprio. Yep. We have, 20 million or 40 million data points on you. That's what they're talking about here, guys. It's all about data points. And they had no interest in helping me fix my cruise control last night.
No.
Zero. It was all about my name. I'm surprised they didn't ask me for my Social Security number and how many children I had. I'll never forget years ago, I had an IRS, not one IRS, it was the Census Bureau, send me about a 60-page questionnaire. They want to know every single person who lived in my house, how many college degrees they had, what their current income was, where their place of employment was. It was unbelievable how invasive it was. I just threw it in the garbage. Then they sent me another one, and I gave it to a friend, which I wish I had not because I never got it back. And finally, I had to get my attorney involved because all they were supposed to know was how many people living in the house. That's it. But they want to have all this intensive data. That's why when you fill out a survey, you be really, really careful. How did you feel when you bought your side-by-side? Did it give you a feeling of power? Did it make you feel like you were something special when you bought the side-by-side? Why did you buy red? What's your favorite color? All this stuff is data that they're using against you, so now they're going to send you ads for red side-by-sides. You think, well, they wouldn't do that. You talk about buying a Breitling watch or a Timex watch or any kind of watch in public with your microphones turned on, the next ads you get on your stupid computer are the doggone watch ads. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over again. It's about total control and mind manipulation. It's Edward Bernays, Kabbalist, Luciferian synagogue of Satan, Bernays, buddy Sigmund Freud, total pervert, cocaine addict, pedophile, cousins. It's about him saying we can control the hearts and the minds of the people through mass marketing and advertising, and they've done it. They lie to you so much that you start believing what the lie says. What do they say? The bigger the lie, you have to say it bigger and louder all the time. Yeah. And then all of a sudden everybody believes the lie instead of the truth. Light has come into the world, the Bible says, but the world has what? Has what? Preferred the darkness. That's what it says. Because people want to think the negative all the time. They want to think, well, it can't be true. It's just too good right now. I can't allow this to be that way. I've got to make sure I self-sabotage. And it goes on and on and on.
You know, it's what's funny. Let's finish this off real quick. You know, back in the day, allegedly, down here in Florida, allegedly, people would spray their tags with this, like, clear coat. Allegedly. And so what happened is camera readers couldn't read them.
They gloss over.
Mm-hmm. They still sell those certain things, but they're illegal. So I wouldn't recommend anybody doing that. Always make sure you follow the law. And now what happened was SB 488 passed the end of last year. Most people don't know this. That made it a second degree misdemeanor with a $500 fine up to 60 days in jail if you intentionally conceal your tag in any way, shape, or form, even with a tag cover. It says here that basically any frame around it is permitted as long as every single letter, number, and validation sticker remain completely unobstructed. Any plastic smoke glass shields are illegal. Thick frames that can block any numbers. Any spray, reflective coating wraps, or stickers that interfere with cameras or police visibility is a second degree misdemeanor. It's funny to me that law got passed last year and suddenly we've had the explosion of these flock cameras right at the same time. As if these two weren't done in the exact same way. This is why they wanted to pass this law. Because before it's like a $100 fine. It's like a slap on the wrist. Whatever. Who cares? Now they're trying to take people to jail for it if your tag's covered up.
Well, so if you spray it with a silicone spray or something that makes it reflect.
Yeah.
And now it's a felony. No, a second degree misdemeanor.
Allegedly.
Here's the problem. This is why if you get a good attorney, it's going to be a question.
Right.
I didn't spray the tag.
That's exactly right.
I was like that when I got it. I haven't done anything to it.
How do you know somebody didn't spray was in the parking lot?
There's no proof. You can't. So I mean,
if something ever happens,
keep
like
your
that,
mouth shut.
Keep your mouth shut.
Don't say I sprayed it yesterday because I thought it was okay. Don't say that. You know, Harrison has told us this. my son works in the state attorney's office up in the Tallahassee area. He goes, you won't believe what people do on police cameras. They just tell the whole story.
They just babble it out. They babble it. He said 90% of the stuff people say on there, he said he could get a lot of stuff dropped.
If they didn't say it.
They talk, run their mouth. I'm so sorry I did that. I still have the can at the house. It's still wet. I didn't mean to do this. I'm so sorry. I'm like, okay, now you're under arrest. You admitted to it. Just keep your mouth shut. If you do something stupid, doesn't just keep your mouth shut.
Let me say something. We all do something stupid. Like, here's one of the biggest things we do that shouldn't be done. We go out and get student loans.
Oh, talk about the yesterday.
We're going to step away from that right now.
Oh, yeah.
But we do things we shouldn't do. We buy cars we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't know that surge, that do all kinds of crazy crap.
It's surge. You get pulled over in because they're surging.
That are ranked number 35 in Consumer Report. we do things we shouldn't do, okay? Here's the new American dream. Having parents who can help pay for it.
That's the American dream.
Yeah. For generations, the formula for getting ahead in America seems straightforward. Go to college, work hard, save your money, buy a home, and climb the economic ladder. Today, that formula increasingly depends on something many Americans can't control, whether their family has the financial means to help them along the way. Without that support, many Americans face mounting debt, student loans, and increasing difficulty, if not impossibility, path to owning a home and wealth accumulation. This is an absolute fact, by the way. The dependence is especially pronounced among young adults who are entering an economy that has become less forgiving, This is the same thing happened to me when I graduated from with my MBA, when Austin graduated, when he graduated. When the economy goes into a downturn, it's hard to get a job. Breaking into the job market is tougher than it was a few years ago because of AI. And everyday expenses are eating up larger parts of your paychecks. Student loan debt continues to weigh on borrowers. And would-be homeowners are being pushed to the sidelines as high prices collide with stubborn mortgage rates. Well, Biden did something that he was right about. He couldn't get it done, but he tried. And that was student loan forgiveness.
Yep.
Okay. I don't know what in the world they were thinking with that. I guess they were trying to throw a bone to the population to make them like Biden. I don't know, because he never did it. But the reality is that was really a good idea. It was. And I don't think they should forgive the student loans. Listen to me. They should allow them to bankrupt them and bankrupt personally. Chapter 7. Yep. And so, I mean, if you don't want to pay back your $100,000 of student loans, okay, gotcha. Just file bankruptcy on everything and walk away and start over again. I think that's okay if you did that. You think, I can't believe you said that. You let these people accumulate debt like that, and then they don't pay for it. Look, Constitution gives us right for bankruptcy. Taking that out of bankruptcy provision and allowing you to be an indentured servant because you're 18 years old and you're unbelievably stupid and you sign those. Here's the problem. A lot of those unbelievably stupid 18-year-olds, they get their parents to co-sign this crap.
Oh, yeah. The parents are on the hook for it.
Well, the parents can't file bankruptcy either. You know, it's like this girl I met a few years ago during COVID. She bought this truck for $40,000 more than retail. $40,000 more. It was used.
Don't do that, guys, no, especially with high production.
No, it was a $35,000. It was a, like some kind of Lincoln thing. She paid $75,000 for it, right? And she had already filed bankruptcy, and her mom signed for the truck. And her mom couldn't file bankruptcy. So her mom was on the hook for making the payments. Don't co-sign anything. The Bible says don't do that. Even your very bed will be snatched away from underneath you is what it says. Be really, really, really careful with all this crazy stuff. It's not something you need to get involved in. Don't co-sign. I've had some of my kids before. Can you co-sign a lease for me on this house? It's great. It's, you know, $4,000 a month. I'm like, why do you need a $4,000 a month lease? No, I'm not doing that. Go get you a roommate. Get you an apartment for $500 a month. Oh, I don't want to do that. Trust, please. You go get a job, make your own $4,000 a month payment. Don't co-sign. Am I right, Austin? You know I'm telling the truth.
Funny,
don't allow yourself to get emotionally involved with stuff that you can't control and that you can't pay for. Am I right or wrong?
That's 100% fact. It's always funny to me. I've tried to encourage young kids, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, I'm trying to afford this right now. I said, yeah, get a roommate. When I was in college, I had three roommates in one apartment. And I don't want a roommate. I'm not dealing with a roommate. I'll pay the $4,000 a month by myself. And I'm like, that's a big nut to crack, dude. You're making like, you know, $4,000 a month total income max if you're making that. I said, you're spending your entire paycheck on housing because you don't want to have a roommate.
I got a funny story. This is funny. You guys are gonna laugh at this one. And all my stories are true. I've got a friend who went out with this girl. She was a student and she's from Norway. And the day he talked to her on the online, she told him that she was buying a dog, a $4,000 puppy. Now, this is a student. She has no job. She's living on money coming in from Norway for the school. And suddenly they go out a couple days, and she calls him up like the third day they went out and says, by the way, I need you to pay for the $4,000 for the dog. I can't pay for it now. I've emptied my bank account. Now, I'm asking you a question.
That's a you problem.
That's a you. Yeah,
that's not a me problem, dude.
And the guy told her not to buy the dogs. Don't buy a $4,000 dog. What's wrong with you? And I'm not saying it's just women who do stuff like this, because guys do stupid stuff, too. Okay? Women do stupid stuff. Guys do stupid stuff. But guys, you got to think through the payment structure of this thing. And you got to think through the fact that once you buy the $4,000 dog, now you got a dog. Now you got to take care of the dog. Now you got to feed the dog. Now you got to take the dog to vets. Now you got to make sure somebody babysits the dog. You got to put the dog in a kennel. It goes on and on and on.
Dogs are a lot of upkeep, especially when they're puppies. You got to be prepared for that.
Get ready for them to chew all your furniture up and pee all over the room. I mean, it's part of it, right?
We love that.
And so it's just because. But then she asked this guy to pay for the dog like 3 days after they met. The guy looked at her and said, "That's a you problem. It's not a me problem. What's wrong with you? I'm not paying for your dog." Yeah. Guys can be really stupid when their emotions get involved, and so can women, and they start doing things they shouldn't ought to do to try to help people they don't even know. I'm going to say that. Very important that you understand that you got to remember, and I've told you this, anybody can fool you for 30 days, ladies, men, both. Anybody can fool you for 30 days. If they're really, really good, they can fool you for 60. Hey, nobody fools you for 90.
Nope.
You know who they are.
90-year rule, baby.
And so just before you start throwing money into a relationship with a person you don't know, you might had a friend of ours, okay? Guy is dumber than a box of rocks stuck in wet concrete. This guy is nuts, okay?
Horrible.
He goes out with this girl the first night he goes out with her. She's 18, 19 years old. Takes her out to Louis Vuitton and buys her $5,000 a person. Oh, am I telling the truth? Am I telling the truth, Austin?
Yes.
Idiot. Then she tries to commit suicide by diving out of his car at 70 miles an hour. Couldn't get the door open. Now she's pregnant. Am I telling the truth?
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. The thing about it is, especially, why are we dating topics? I'll close
people,
up.
People like
to
date.
I got a health topic I'm covering in a second.
Let's do this.
You know, don't allow somebody else's problems
to become your problems. Yep.
Especially in an early phase of a relationship. First off, here's the thing. Everybody's got issues. Everybody's got demons they fight. Everybody's got stuff they got to battle. The older you get, you realize everybody's got an issue. That's okay. You adapt and overcome, work the problem. However, don't allow somebody in an early phase in a relationship start dumping all of their baggage on you, and suddenly you feel bad, you feel guilty, you like them, so you have to start taking all of their problems, and now they're your problems, and you have to start supporting, working, doing all these different things, different directions, whatever it may be. It can be a ton of topics. But be careful, because I've watched that more and more now in this industry of just weirdness, is this younger generation, especially with social media, because everybody now has to have this constant expectation to live up to a social media. You know, back in the day, nothing got recorded. You know, we did. I mean, you get a VHS camera, some records. You know, we go to the U.S. Open. You know, I'm 14 years old. Fight full open U.S. Open. You know, get my butt handed to me, I get fourth place. Worked all the way up.
Well, you were fourth place in the world.
But I went in and went as hard as I could. The guy that beat me ended up getting his arm broke by the second place guy. My arm shattered. Took a block so hard.
Yeah, those Germans were older than they said they were, though.
It was a blast. Fought as hard as I could. Did the best I could. Doesn't matter if you don't win or not. You give it all you got. You're a man. You put it in there. You fight. Doesn't matter what it was. It was a motocross. Doesn't matter what it was in business. You do it all the way. The problem that's happened now, this younger generation, I feel bad for them, is everything now goes on social media. Every single fault, every single issue, every single nuance goes on social media, goes online for everybody to see now. So a lot of times people's behaviors, people's basically objectives, people's goals are now getting tailored around what other people perceive them and however the people are going to judge them. Be very cautious as a young child, or if you have young kids, young teenagers, allowing that to happen to them. Avoid it as much as possible. You know, I got a really good friend of mine. He was over last night. His son's wanting to lose weight. I'm really proud of him, really encouraging
him. This is a great story.
Great. He's wanting to change. And he's over here last night. He's 8 years old. And, you know, he's got a belly on him now from eating too much junk food.
No, he's obese.
Well, so the thing about it is, though, I'm going to sit there, and he asked me, he's like, you know, Mr. Austin, how can we do this? I was talking to his dad. I said, dude, bring him over here. We'll work out with Hunter every day. Start training for the next 3 weeks before we get basically in this school again. I said, he's 8 years old. He can reverse this at 8 years old still, easily. With diet and exercise, he can pull that weight right off him. Once you go through puberty with that weight, that's when it starts getting really, really difficult to shave off in the later teenage years, because those fat cells have all those hormones that basically got added into them. So be cautious of that. Make changes that are going to be positive, especially for your young kids, because guys, fathers, it's not about you. Your emotions, your priority is you, come last. Your children come first as raising them as little Americans. Because when you start focusing, everything's about you, it doesn't make me happy. I don't want to do this. See, you're not supposed to be happy. You're supposed to be going and getting things done. You're supposed to be the leader, the protector, the grinder, the everything for your kids, for your family.
Well, you can be happy, though.
It's not your priority, though.
It's not the priority.
It's not the priority. Of course, there's nothing wrong with it.
The priority is responsibility.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And the lead basis of masculinity is protection and support.
That's exactly right.
That is your main goal. That is your main project.
Suck it up, buttercup.
That's exactly right. Get it done. That's your objective. Nothing else matters except the mission, except that objective. Take care, protect, support in the most positive Christian way possible. It's not your job to be happy. It's your job to support and protect and be an example and a leading role model and a Christian, basically, example to your kids and do the best you can to raise them. Are we going to do a lot of things stupid sometimes? Absolutely. 100%. You're going to screw up. But the difference is addressing it, looking at it, saying, I don't want this crap in the house. I don't want to keep bringing in a half gallon of Bluebell ice cream every single day. I'm not going to stop and go to McDonald's every single day on the way back from the ball game or football game. You know, he did a really good article the other day, and it talked about how fast food Used to be a treat, right? You get on the baseball game. We're going to go grab a burger. We're going somewhere here. We're on a road trip. We're going to grab this. Now it's becoming an entire food pyramid on people's life. Every single day, it's about going to the drive-thru, getting Taco Bell, getting Chick-fil-A, getting McDonald's. And then people wonder why they're getting morbidly obese and they're having all these health problems. They feel like crap. No excuses to it. Do better. You can do better. I believe in you guys. Just change.
You know, I learned something, and this is difficult for me because I was overweight as a kid, probably 30 pounds. I mean, you know, it wasn't like I was 100 pounds overweight, but I was like 30. And I remember I was embarrassed to take my shirt off in PE. We had PE back then. And I remember I didn't like the way it made me feel. And then I got picked on by an older kid. And then I remember one day I picked up my brother's journal from when he was working out with weights. I wish I had kept it. Yeah. I gave it to my mom and she threw it away. I have no idea why she threw it away. I mean, he had photographs and everything in it. And I read it and I thought, he's going through a lot of the same stuff that I did, but he was real skinny. He started working out, ended up being 6'2" and 225 pounds of 6'2" in high school. A big guy. And I remember I started thinking, if he can do this, I can do it. Now, what does the Bible say about that? God is no respecter of persons. What he can do, I can do, you know? And so you got to think about that for a second. And I remember I started working out. I was like 12, 13 years old. And I had a set of Ted Williams weights. They were plastic with concrete in them. And they have a little booklet in there. And they said, hey, look, you know, here's the exercise that you have to do. And I started doing them. And I worked out for a little while. And I quit a little while. And I'd work out a little while. And I was 13. I started again. 14, I started again. Finally, I'm like, I kind of like this. I'm getting in better shape. Starting to look better. My waist is coming down. And by the time I was 16 years old, I was in great shape working out every day.
There you go.
And I thought myself, by the time I was 17, 18, I'm like huge. And I'm like, yeah, I like this. This is great. It's the little things. It's the little rewards that start adding up. And you start saying, hey, nothing tastes as good as this feels as good, looking good, making myself healthy. And that's the attitude that I've had my whole life. Last night I had a friend of ours, Austin knows him, good friend, call me up. He's got advanced atherosclerotic plaquing, you know, and he's like 77 years old. And he goes, what do I do? I'm like, well, you've been taking my stuff for 15, 20 years. I said, this has nothing to do with what you've done the last 15, 20 years. It's what you did when you were eating a box of Red Hots. I saw him eat a bucket of Red Hots, a full bucket, and on a trip one time. And I said, this is from that. And I said, you can do chelation, you can do the EDTA, you can do all kinds of stuff. I said, but you got to realize, you know, it's very important. I said, now I'm going to say something personal here on the air. I'd be real careful. I say this is a G-rated show most of the time. Atherosclerotic plaquing is not isolated in the body. It's systemic. In other words, if you have an aorta that's getting plugged up with junk,
okay,
you've also got capillaries and venules and basically arterioles that are also getting plugged up.
Throughout the whole body. Okay.
It's systemic. And so I asked him, I said, forgive me, I'll say it in a nice way. How are your private parts working?
How's your libido and erections?
We're going to say that.
Dude, it doesn't matter.
It's YouTube.
It's YouTube. You know what they say
well,
on YouTube?
He said that's over.
I'm not talking about hookers. I'm not talking about Miami. We're talking about erections. And HH Stimulate is a great product for that topic.
It is. I was so not trying to go there on the show.
Yeah, well, it's Friday. I don't care. It's an open topic. We could talk about this. It's a problem, obviously.
Obviously, he didn't have any problems with that because there weren't any.
Okay.
That means he had atherosclerotic plaquing everywhere, including for erection.
Okay, so how do we reverse this?
Well, that's rough. That's a tough one because a lot of times you've got to do it with intravenous EDTA, and I'm not making any claims here at all.
Now, what about the oral EDTA we have?
It works, but it's really, really, really slow.
Okay.
And so the problem with this is that, you know, it's not what he's done for the last 20 years that caused this.
Yeah.
He's done. It's what he did the first Four. Before when he used to eat junk all the time.
Yeah, if he runs the vitamin E, though, that's
good. Now, I told him, go on the Spike Protein Survival Kit.
There you go, okay.
The nanokinase, the N-acetylcysteine.
Okay,
and I hope that'll really increase blood flow. But be careful because you don't want to start bruising from it.
Yeah, you do have to watch out with the NAC on that. It can cause bruising if you take high doses.
Because it really thins the blood, which we're not making any claims here. But the problem is that, you know, when you get to that point and you say, well, I can't have relations with my wife anymore because... It's kind of to the point of like you should have been thinking about that 20 years earlier, 30 years earlier, 40 years earlier.
Oh, yeah.
It's a problem. And so it happens all the time. Now, another thing that causes that is blood pressure medication.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I've seen that same problem in 20 and 30-year-olds because of the blood pressure.
Round trampoline every single day, vitamin E, HGH stimulate.
And zinc.
Well, zinc helps out with blood pressure.
No, zinc helps out with libido.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about blood pressure.
Yeah.
Getting blood pressure down. Because blood pressure issues are a lot of times they creep up on you, and you got to monitor them. You got to work
Man,
on
you
them.
You just pull the Band-Aid off that topic.
Whatever, morning. Dude. Well, speaking of that.
I was trying to go real slow-like for kids watching the show.
Oh, whatever.
That's hey, kids, we love you guys. Sorry about that.
Welcome to Ted and Austin Brower Show, guys. I'm here. Well, speaking of that, since we're talking about erections and libido and all that, prostate support, we have the new ones in, by the way, if you guys have checked those out on the website.
Great products.
Great products. Prostate urinary support and also prostate hormone support. One thing I want to cover, you guys, before the show's over, this is Friday. Somebody sent me in the chat yesterday and asked me a question about the research study that came out saying the more eggs you eat, the higher risk of prostate cancer you have. That
total,
is
total nonsense. Most,
I'm going to show you guys right now. Give me camera four. This was choline intake and risk of lethal prostate cancer incident and survival. And they said here, essentially, eating meat and eggs has been associated now with higher risk of prostate cancer.
So stupid.
First off, they looked at choline intake, which eggs are high in choline, beef's high in choline, and they're saying risk of lethal prostate cancer. I don't have time to go in this entire study. This whole thing was skewed to a level that's unprecedented.
They won't even tell you what kind of eggs. If they were probably using powder eggs.
No.
Powder eggs are unbelievably bad for you.
Well, no, powdered eggs are unbelievably toxic for you. I mean, I wouldn't even eat those in my body if I'm going somewhere.
That's why you got to be careful. When you go to a hotel, 99% of the time, if it's a low-budget hotel and they give you free breakfast, it's powdered eggs. They're mixing them up in the back with water, and then they have to run out of the room so they don't fall dead from the toxicity of it.
Yeah, I mean,
facetious, but they're that bad.
Run the prostate support supplements, eat eggs, eat beef. I promise you, when you see crap like this that they roll out there, I guarantee you, if you dig down deep enough, give me camera four.
Well, then they have to say risk of lethal prostate.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, I guarantee you, it was a little hat study. Secondly, you already know who's funded it. Brian goes down to BlackRock and some companies that sell powdered eggs, a bunch of other stuff. And on top of that, they want you to stay on meds and stay sick. I eat eggs all the time. I got my blood work done. Just came back yesterday. My prostate level is like at the best range. Like, it's perfect. Just my personal opinion on it. Testosterone was at 890.
It's good.
Feel pretty good. Everything's running perfect on here. I ate 4 to 8 eggs a day. My cholesterol was perfect. Perfect.
What was it?
208. Yeah, total good. Cholesterol. HDL's to the roof, by the way. And so I was looking at it. I was like, okay, I'm pretty happy with that. I ate 4 to 8 eggs a day. If you want to stay eating clean, eating lean, organic eggs are the way to go. I don't buy this crap. I don't listen to it. Remember, these are the same guys that run the study, the same ones that said that that thing that you're supposed to get in 2020, that RNA shot.
It's healthy for you.
It's safe and effective.
And they're the same ones that told you that cholesterol had to be under 200, under 100. They're the same ones. Remember this. And it's nonsense. This whole thing's a bunch of lies. I learned something. You know, I've outlived my last two doctors.
That's a problem, isn't it? Who are you taking advice from? What's it doing to you? And is that okay?
And the second one was only, I think it was 54. So you got to learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit and take good advice from healthy people. Don't listen to a fat doctor who smokes. Don't ever do that. Just thought I'd mention that. By the way, Florida, Georgia sheriff has 28 inmates make life-changing decisions to follow God and to follow Jesus in baptism. I love that. You know, keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life, for he is the author, the finisher, and the perfecter of faith, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. For this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad, and I will see you in church on Sunday morning if you watch the Lutheran broadcast. Guys, I love you. Thank you for today, for listening. I mean, this is kind of, God, I can't believe we burnt the clock this fast. But thank you for today. Thank you for listening. We're trying to bring you the truth, the best of our ability to tell you the truth. And everything they tell you on the mainstream media is not what they tell you. It's all a lie. 99%.
And make sure, like I said, if you're eating eggs, I'll clarify this, make sure you're eating whole, organic, free-range eggs. Don't be eating the super processed stuff.
And organic
soy.
Butter.
Yeah.
Very, very important. Or you could cook them in olive oil, but they don't taste as good.
Grass-fed beef the whole time, not just grass-finished. You got to watch out for that. Also, like I said, check out the prostate hormone support and also the prostate urinary support. They're two different ones.
I take these every day, four of each a day.
Great products on them. Run them all the time. You guys need anything, Berberine Ultimate, also on-sale product week. Remember, this product, there's a study on it that we have on the website that talks about reducing and reversing atherosclerotic plaquing with berberine. I'm not making any claims what it's going to do to everybody, but the study showed that it reduces it. Just on that out there, on that topic that we were talking about earlier, as far as for buildup.
You're right. That's what the studies show. We're not making the claims, but that's what the studies show. Hey, study show. Love you. Thanks again for your support. Really, really appreciate you. And have a blessed weekend. Have fun this weekend. Find somebody you like and hang out with them. Don't hang out with people you don't like.
Don't hang out with people you don't like.
Love you guys.
You guys have a good weekend. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.